Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Sermon MP3 from Lawson Heights Alliance Church. This is Sunday, August 8, 2021, and this Sunday we continue our series on spiritual gifts. And today's message is entitled, Exceeding Your Limitations, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God bless you as you listen.
I want you to think of something that absolutely petrifies you. Can you think of something? Something you've done that absolutely petrified you. Maybe you rode a roller coaster. Talked to someone today who was at the exhibition, and of course, she tried all the rides, but her mom didn't. I don't want to tell the name because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you know, this little girl tried out all these scary rides that she'd never tried before. How fantastic. She dared to do it. So what petrifies you? Maybe you've bungee jumped. Any bungee jumpers here? Anybody jump from an airplane parachuting? Oh, one of you did. That's great. Why don't you turn to the person next to you as I get a little prepared up here and just tell them the scariest thing you've ever done. Okay? Turn to the person next to you. Marriage doesn't count, okay? Getting married doesn't count. Awesome. Awesome. I want you to think back on that time, and I want you to think about what made you do it. What made you do it? What got you past your fear? Now, some of you may say, I was pushed. That'd be a good way to get past your fear. Maybe you were with someone. Maybe someone dared you. Or maybe you just kind of grit your teeth and you did it in spite of your fear. You'd never done anything like that before, but even though it petrified you, you just stepped over the line and you did it. Some of you like to do risky things. Some of you like to play it safe. And I know that there are a lot of things that I wouldn't do, like jump out of a plane. My son, Jared, jumped out of a plane and I stayed safely on the ground recording him as he came and skidded in on his bum. It was a great little time together. But he had the fun and the be able to brag about doing this scary, petrifying thing while I just sat on the ground. But I want to ask you another question. What about when it comes to your faith? Have you ever done anything scary when it comes to your faith? What scares you about your faith? Think that one through for a second. That's a tougher question, isn't it? Because what really scares you about your faith? I mean, what is there to be afraid of? Well, I'd like to propose to you that perhaps spiritual gifts scare a lot of Christians. Spiritual gifts scare a lot of Christians. Here's a list of the gifts, okay? These are the ones that are recorded in the scriptures. Administration, the gift of exhortation, the gift of faith, the gift of singleness, the gift of giving, of helps, hospitality, intercession, leadership, mercy, service, voluntary poverty, evangelism, knowledge, wisdom, missionary, pastor, prophecy, teaching, discernment, exorcism, healing, interpretation, miracles, tongues, and apostleship. I read those off, and I can see that some here are already sweating a little bit thinking of that list. Some of those gifts can scare you a bit, some a lot. Some of them are the more dramatic gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy and tongues and exorcism. And those kind of gifts scare you, especially if you're not a charismatic type of person. But those aren't the ones that scare most Christians, really. Remember from last week, we learned from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. It says, now to one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. If you follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit has already given you certain gifts, spiritual gifts. And the question is, are you manifesting those in your life? Let's pause to pray first. Father, we stand at a threshold. It's not like bungee jumping or skydiving, but we're going to be jumping into your word this morning. And some of what I'm going to talk about today, I'm sure will scare some believers here among us. For some, it will excite them, and they just want to take the risk, and they want to jump in and do. I pray, Lord, that at the end of this message, we would all come to grips with a few questions, that we'd be able to answer them honestly as we go through this message today, and that you would spark in our heart a desire, an eager desire, an earnest desire to seek the gifts of the Spirit for the good of the body. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for your love, which encompasses all these gifts, because it does say in 1 Corinthians 14, now follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And so, Lord, today, following the way of love, we follow into this word that will help us to understand what it is that you would have for us as a people. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you my first question for today. First question is, are the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in my life? Why don't we ask that question out loud together, okay? Repeat that after me. Are the gifts of the Spirit manifesting in my life? Guys, listen, upon professing faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gave you spiritual gifts for the common good of the church, right? I mean, that's Bible. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for your good and the good of the church. And when you discover them and you use them, you will feel good about having them. But it's funny how most Christians fear discovering their gifts, because they're afraid that they're not going to like the gifts the Spirit gives them. Most of you, I think, would be okay with the Holy Spirit, say, giving you, for instance, the gift of helps. That was one in that long list of gifts. And we have a lot of helpers here in the church, and that's a good thing. These are people who help out in Kids Zone, in the cafe, and in ushering and greeting and cooking and maintenance and sound techs and live streamers and more. And that's good. And quite likely, you enjoy using that gift. And thank you. That's awesome. It's good for the common good of the church that we have people in this church with the gift of helps. Now, you may not have ever thought of helping as a spiritual gift, but it is. But of course, you can help others in the church, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have that as a spiritual gift. It doesn't mean that helping is automatically a spiritual gift. And you could be involved in a ministry in the church that requires, say, the gift of helps, but not be using that gift. That might not make sense to you, but let me explain what I mean by giving you a bit of a definition. I've been reading a number of quotes from a book by Sam Storms called Understanding Spiritual Gifts. It's sort of seen as the evangelical foundation for spiritual giftedness, and I encourage you to read it. Spiritual gifts. He says this: a spiritual gift is when the Holy Spirit manifests his presence and imparts his power into and through individual believers to enable them to exceed the limitations of their finite humanity so that they might faithfully and effectively fulfill certain ministry tasks that build up the body of Christ. So, for the gift of helps, for instance, helps is not just helping in the church. See, the gift of helps manifests in a believer's life so that they can exceed their natural capacity to help in the church. Let me give you a biblical example. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, we have the apostle saying this. It's sort of the close of the letter. He's given his final thank yous to everybody. And he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant. The word is deacon or minister of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she needs, she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me, but not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Priscilla and Aquila were known for hospitality, according to church history. Some of you may have prayed somewhere along the line, Lord, please don't give me a missionary gift. I don't want to go to Africa. Some of you maybe have prayed for that gift. But most of us, I think, have maybe prayed for a subtle gift, such as the gift of helps. But these folks that Paul acknowledges risked their lives as they helped. They went above and beyond their natural capacity to help. Later, he mentions Priscilla and Aquila, who had the gift of hospitality, another subtle, often seen as a behind-the-scenes kind of a gift, so you'd think. But those who were hospitable to Paul risked their lives by providing them with shelter, both the apostles and other missionaries. I've had people tell me when talking to them about spiritual gifts, well, you know, I'm kind of more of a behind-the-scenes kind of a person. I'm not an extrovert like you. Well, you know what? That might be true in the natural. But in the supernatural, by the Spirit of God, even behind-the-scenes gifts can be risky, dangerous. Endowed by the Spirit of God who is in you, he enables you by the divine presence, by his own divine presence, to exceed the limitations of your finite humanity and personality even, so that you can faithfully and effectively fulfill certain ministry tasks that build up the body of Christ. That is, if you eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit for that purpose. Are you ushering or greeting like that? Are you in helping out in Kids Zone like that, to go above and beyond your natural capacity? Or in the cafe, exceeding your natural limitations? Are you helping in women's ministries and sound or projection or live streaming like that, powerfully, effectively fulfilling your ministry to the Lord there? Is there something supernatural about how you help? That's really the question. How are you hospitable? How are you giving generously? How do you intercede for others? How do you lead? How do you teach? How do you show mercy? You can do a lot of that in just the natural, but you can also do it in the supernatural by way of the Spirit and spiritual gifts. So if someone were to ask you what scares you about your faith lately, you could probably say, well, actually discovering spiritual gifts can be a bit scary, I guess. And as I said, with sadness, that's why many people never ever attempt to discover their spiritual gifts, because they're afraid of what the Holy Spirit may get them to do, require of them, if they admit a particular gift or not. Are you supernaturally manifesting these gifts in your life? Number two, here's a second question. Are my gifts stretching me to serve more and more? Let's read that together. Let's ask that together. Are my gifts stretching me to serve more and more? Again, upon professing faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has given you gifts for the common good of the church. Friends, the gifts Holy Spirit gave you are good, and they're for your good, and they're for the good of the church. And when you discover them and you use them, you will feel good about having them, because then you'll see the Holy Spirit use you above and beyond your natural capacity to serve. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 11. Let's read this, shall we? Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. As you know, you've probably heard me say it before, I never grew up going to Sunday school or church, ever. I was pretty clueless when it came to how stuff in the church worked. I didn't know that you could say no to someone when they asked you to do something in the church. I didn't know that was an option. After all, I had said yes to Jesus, and I guess I just kept saying yes to everyone. Weeks after accepting Jesus into my heart, I was accepting curriculum to teach a grade 3 Sunday school class of boys. Talk about sheep before the wolves, hey? I didn't know what I was doing. I objected at first, of course, because I didn't know anything about teaching Sunday school. But the Sunday school superintendent just patted me on the back and said, "You can do it, Mike." And I said, "Yes, Gwen, I'll teach grade 3 boys Sunday school class." And I did. When the young adults group found out I was teaching Sunday school, well, they asked me if I would teach the next week's young adults group Bible study. What did I know about teaching a Bible study? I'd never even read the Bible before. This was all new territory for me. So I objected at first, but then Dave said, "No, you can do it, Mike." And I said, "Okay, I guess yes then, Dave. I'll teach the Bible study." One day, before the service started, I arrived. I'm waiting for my friend Scott to show up. And the usher comes to me and he says, "You're Scott's friend, right?" I should have said I was a visitor. I should have said it, but I didn't. I wasn't fast enough on my feet. And he says, "You know, we've been looking for Scott and we haven't found him yet. Would you be willing to usher this morning?" And of course, I objected at first, right? But then he put a stack of bulletins and a stack of offering envelopes in my hand. And he said, "Here, Mike, you cover this door. I'll get the next one." And I said, "Yes, Walter, I guess I'm ushering this morning." I'm sure a lot of you have had similar experiences as ministries have just been kind of dropped in your lap and you've not felt prepared or even instructed as to how to do it. Those are just sort of the tip of the iceberg for me as I first came to faith in Christ. That Bible that's in the pew in front of you there, that's the same Bible I was given just a week after I came to faith in Christ. The one that I learned how to teach from in that young adults Bible study. Mine was red, that one's blue, but that's okay. Same Bible. It was an awesome Bible. And today, though, I have a number of them. I was scared at first, but I said yes. So often, I didn't even know there was a no. I love my Bible now. I study, not just read my Bible every day, because someone with the gift of teaching taught me how to study and teach the Bible to others. The more I tried and the more I was stretched, and the more I was stretched, the more I grew to love saying yes to ministry. And by trying all those different ministries, it created in me a sense of partnership with the church and in the gospel. And that yes was how I discovered my spiritual gifts. One thing after another led to another, and people affirmed in me, "I think you have this gift." And that yes was how I discovered a lot of things. That yes taught me how to go above and beyond the natural limitations that kept me in fear of saying yes. And you know what? That stretched my spiritual gifts, took the fear out of it for me, and now I'm not afraid to try anything for Jesus anymore. Even stopping people in the mall to pray for them, because I discovered that I might have the gift of intercession. And if I don't, at least I love praying for people, and I do it anyway. But I would never have discovered the power of God in ministry if I had never said yes immediately. I would have allowed my no to be no forever. And now it's quite common for me to hear the Holy Spirit say, "Serve here, Mike. Serve there, Mike." And guess what my answer is? "Yes, Lord, I'll go." And as parents, we did the same thing to our kids. We just threw them into ministry. And now today, all of them serve. Amy's up in the sound booth. Our kids have all married partners and soon to marry a partner that are actively involved in serving in the church. Andrew's up there in the sound booth too. They're all involved in ministry because we just didn't give them a chance. We just threw them into ministry and they said, "Yes, Mom, yes, Dad." And if you discover your spiritual gifts, you too will never go back to saying no to anything. If you discover it's not for you, then try something else. Third question, number 3. Are my gifts intensifying my partnership with the church? Let's ask that question out loud together, shall we? Are my gifts intensifying my partnership with the church. Listen, guys, I've said it three times already this morning. Upon professing faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gave you spiritual gifts for the common good of the church, right? Friends, the gifts the Holy Spirit gave you are good. When you discover them and you use them, you will feel good about having them. And you will see the Holy Spirit use you above and beyond what your natural capacity is to serve. It's just natural in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:12-31. This is a little bit lengthier passage. For those of you who just don't feel like you have it within you still. Verse 12. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but how many? Many. Now, if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts needs no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it. And that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all prophet? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. You know, back in Paul's day in the church, there was a bit of a rift between the Jewish converts to Christ and the Gentile. Some of them were even pagan converts to Christ. That's why Paul says at the beginning in verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. See, some of the Jewish converts back in the day, they thought that they were a lot more accepted than the Gentile Christians by God. They thought God loved them just a little, maybe even a lot more. Mostly because God had declared that in the Old Covenant through Abraham and then Moses. And in a way, they were right. As Paul declared once in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now he's talking new covenant. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But then he emphasizes the power of God under the new covenant in Christ. Verse 17, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, will learn to live by faith. Today in the church, there is still a bit of elitism out there in some. There are some Christians who think that they are a little bit better than some because their doctrine is maybe a bit better than some. And they search the internet for all kinds of people to vilify because their doctrine is just a little bit better than some. So you probably shouldn't depend on the internet to learn what you believe. Thankfully, I became a Christian before the internet came about. I had to learn my doctrine from the Bible. That's a big difference than learning it from people on the internet. So can I encourage you, just read your Bible and learn to depend on the Holy Spirit to get your doctrine right. So not only in the area of doctrine, but there are some people, as we see in the Corinthian church, there were some who thought their gifting was a little bit better than some. They prided themselves on having a gift of, say, prophecy or tongues over something like helps or service. And Paul says, no. In the church, we don't have any of that. So in some places, there might still be a little bit of elitism among some Christians. I don't think we have that here, thankfully. But something that the church does suffer from, and it might even be in our church, I think it has some foothold here, is that today there are some Christians who suffer from a low self-image rather than a high self-image. First, because of personal insecurity, there's many a Christian who will confine themselves to a pew and they've resigned themselves to being behind-the-scenes servants. Friends, I hope you've learned so far in this series, and especially today, that spiritual gifts are for serving the common good of the church. And everyone is needed, right? The head can't say to the feet, we don't need you. The hand can't say, anyway, you get it. It is not about your ability. It's not about your confidence level. It's not about whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Listen to Paul back this up. 1 Corinthians 12:20-22. As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are what? Indispensable. So hear me on this. Because we have people who struggle with a low opinion of themselves. I think every church does. Who have decided that they will forever be behind the scenes servants in the church. And some of you might even be so behind the scenes that you're not even serving. So hear me on this. There are no excuses for not stepping out in faith and using the gifts that you have to their fullest capacity. There is no excuse for not stepping out in faith and testing the capacity, not of your ability, but of the Spirit's ability to enable you to be able to serve in ministry. None of you are indispensable, and none of you are dispensable. It's all about His ability to work through us. Amen? We need to discover that. Anything else is just excuses and laziness and fear and ego. He is the omnipotent Spirit of the living God who promises to empower us, to empower your yes, so that you can serve above and beyond your natural limitations. What can He not do in and through you? You've only got to say yes to find out. Really, you do. That's why I'm so grateful. I didn't know how church worked back then when I first was saved. I didn't know that you could say no to people. And thankfully, because maybe I wouldn't be here today. No matter what your opportunity or task, the Spirit is enough for you to take it on. He is just waiting for your yes. He's just waiting for your yes. And you know what? He will be your biggest cheerleader and your biggest help. He says to me, because someone taught me to listen to the Spirit, you can do this, Mike. I've got you. And I say, yes, Spirit. I'll dare to teach a grade 3 Sunday school boys class because you're with me. And maybe you'll manifest within me a teaching gift so that I can do it above and beyond what my limitations are. Yes, Lord, I'll take the risk and teach a young adult's Bible study because you're with me. And maybe you'll manifest in me a gift of leadership because I don't have that gift right now. I'm going to need something from you. Yes, I'll usher, Lord, because you're in me. And maybe you'll manifest in me the gift of helps because I don't know how to help people find not only their pew on Sunday morning, but find their place here at Lawson. I'll trust you, Holy Spirit, to share my testimony with my coworker because maybe you'll manifest within me the gift of evangelism. Yes, I'll brave to pray out loud the next time someone asks for someone to close the meeting. And maybe you'll manifest in me a gift of intercession so that I'll know how to pray better in the Spirit. See, friends, this is not about your ability. It's not about my ability. It's about our ability to say yes to the Spirit. It's about your yes. Yes is faith, and it rouses the Holy Spirit to empower us. And your yes then intensifies your partnership to the church. You are part of something far greater than yourself when you're part of the church. And you're part of a gospel that is meant for a world, not just the small body of believers. And there are gifts that are meant to be used outside these walls, outside the borders of our country, outside the borders of seas and oceans. And all you have to do is say, yes, Holy Spirit, teach me, give me gifts you say I need. Well, saying yes to the Spirit reveals another question, our last question for today, number four. Are my gifts deepening my relationship with the Spirit? Let's ask that question out loud, shall we? Are my gifts deepening my relationship with the Spirit? Guys, listen, upon professing faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gave you spiritual gifts already for the common good of the church, right? And those gifts that the Holy Spirit gave you are for good, for your good, for the good of the church. And when you discover them and you use them, you will feel good about having them. Guaranteed, I promise. They're nothing to fear. But better yet, eagerly desiring spiritual gifts should make you feel good about the person of the Holy Spirit. The gifts are His to give. 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." These are His gifts. And He gives gifts to you only as He pleases. You can't pick and choose your gifts. You can ask for a gift, and perhaps He's already given it to you. And maybe you can ask for other gifts, needs that you have to be able to serve to a capacity above your natural limits. And He might bless you with further gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And to resist His wise distribution of gifts is to grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you do it too long, it will even quench the Holy Spirit in your life. And this Spirit and His work in you and in the church is to do more than distribute gifts to the children of God. He also purifies and unifies the body of Jesus in the world. He is the Holy Spirit after all. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink." I love that last part. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Drinking the Spirit is a metaphor for gaining the Spirit when you were first saved. It's another metaphor there is being baptized into the body of Christ by that Spirit. But we're to keep drinking Him in. We're to keep being bathed in Him. It is the Spirit who regenerated you at the beginning. He's the one that continues to transform you, the old you into the new you, the fleshly you into a supernatural you. It is by Him that you were born again in the first place, and it is by Him that you will continue to develop the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And by doing all that, He also joins you to the company of the saved, to the church. You become a child of God and hence part of God's holy family here on earth. It's what the Apostle Peter means by becoming a partaker, a participant in the divine nature. And because He is God, the Holy Spirit, His divine, everywhere present power and person indwells you and at the same time unites you to everyone else here in this room that professes faith in Jesus. And not only this room, but to every other room in this city that calls itself a church. They are the part of the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit unites you to them. And he also unites you to those in the church that are meeting in places that are not a building like this, in other parts of the world, where it might be a criminal offense to meet. He unites you to them, too. This is all so supernatural, my friends. You don't even feel it sometimes. He joins you to the church. He makes us part of the body of Christ. And that's what it means to be Christian. So, have you drank of him lately? Have you drank him in lately, sisters and brothers? See, make no mistake about it, a pursuit of the gifts of the Spirit that doesn't grow your knowledge and relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit is merely a selfish and fleshly pursuit of power. Holy Spirit is a person to know, not an object to gain. He's a person to experience. He is God, the third person of the Holy Trinity. Have you drank him in lately? Have you drank him in lately? I don't know that you can do that in a 5-minute window here as a pastor concludes in prayer. You know, a prayer might be able to spark something. It might be able to be sort of that threshold moment where you stand there, kind of like bungee jumping or jumping out of a plane, where you say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to commit from this day forward to get to know you. Yes, I want the gifts. Yes, I want to be able to serve in a capacity above my normal limitations. But more than the gifts, Lord, I want to know you. And I'm going to jump in with both feet. It scares the tar out of me. But I want to know you. Would you do that right now and even this week? I give you a couple of challenges up here in the overhead. You'll see them. Number one, how do you discover the gifts? How do you spend time with the Holy Spirit? Number one, in this next week, can I encourage you to read John 14 to 16, chapters 14, 15, and 16. In there you see Jesus, especially in 14 and 16, you see him talking about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what his purpose is in the church. Read it. But don't just read it. Read it to get to know him better. Talk to him as you read the scriptures. John 14 to 16. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Second of all, complete the Christian service inventory. Last week I gave you some. There were some that the ushers maybe gave you as you came in the door. There's some at the Welcome Center. There's also a drop-off box at the Welcome Center if you completed one and want to know where to put it. That's a place to do it. You can also get one at the church office during the week. You can also get one online. Just go to the front page of our site, lawsonchurch.com. There's a little button there that says Christian Service Inventory. You can download the PDF and do it at home. It'll be a good way for you to sort of get your hands into it and say, this is where I've been engaged in the past. This is where I think I'd like to be engaged in the future. And again, you're not committing to it for life. You're just saying, I think I'd like to try this. That'd be a great place to start. Thirdly, register for the Spiritual Gifts Discovery Workshop that we're going to hold here at the church Tuesday, August 31st. There's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. Go sign up there. Sign up online. We'd be glad to help you develop and discover what your gifts are so that you and I can, for the common good of the body, see this church grow to its fullest in Christ. But let's pray. And let's ask Holy Spirit to just move in us in such a way this morning that our jump today into this will be the first of many. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Fall fresh on all of us, Lord. More than anything, Lord, I want your people to know you fully. and I want them to be known by you. Lord, not for my own benefit, but for theirs and for the sake of the gospel. Lord, I want them to know what saying yes to you feels like. I want them to know what saying no feels like to you. I want them to know you, Holy Spirit. Because if they can know you, they will listen for you in every part of their day. They will be quick to obey you anytime you say, go here, go there, do this, do that. And then they will know the joy of full partnership in the body of Christ as they immerse themselves in the Spirit of God. Lord, today we stand on this little precipice of belief and unbelief. I'm not naive enough to think that every single person in this room will jump in fully today. There are some people who just very blatantly say, this is not for me. There are some people who have said no to you so long, they've not only, they've quenched your spirit. They've quenched your speaking to them. And they don't even hear you anymore. There's some, Lord, though, I think there's many here today that have heard you plainly today and have said, Lord, I'm ready to jump in with both feet. And I know, Lord, it's risky for them to say such things. But Lord, there's no better place to be than to see you work supernaturally through us, above and beyond our natural capacity to do in this world. And there's nothing better than knowing the Spirit of God at work within us personally. So Lord, give my brothers and sisters today the joy of knowing you and being in partnership with you and being a part, a committed part of the body of Christ. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name.